Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Perspective over what, you know, 29 seasons, and we've had 27 seasons like this, you know, I think my math is right. But I'm very proud of the team. This year, it was a successful season. I'm not going to sit up here and say it was not a successful season. It was in just about every way of looking at it. But I'm disappointed, and John's disappointed. We're all disappointed. Our team's disappointed. You know, we had higher aspirations, and we didn't achieve those aspirations and goals.
You know, every season stands on its own, and that's the great thing about this whole adventure, just like life. And this season was an awesome season. In so many ways, the ways that really matter. You know, you don't live in the narratives, you live in the reality and the relationships. And that's been fantastic. And that's the thing that I really treasure about this team, because this was a football team that was singularly focused, one another, the team, and being the best team they could possibly be and doing the best they could do.
So you heard Eric DaCosta, and obviously wants to say the season is a success, though they are all disappointed because they didn't get where they wanted to go. And then John Harbaugh saying something of a similar vein as he talks about each season being different and the singular focus, but obviously the job was not completed. Eric and John met with the media for about, I guess, 45 to 50 minutes today.
Close to an hour.
And Bone and I were there. Jason, you obviously watched live.
Yes.
What were your main takeaways from today?
I think these things tend to be fairly telling. And I think you don't have to have an advanced degree in reading people, or you don't have to have, 30 plus years of journalism experience and sitting through press conferences to be able to pick up on some tells and pick up on some clues. And I think there's certain things that they're very forthright to speak about in a certain tone, using certain verbs and adjectives that would connote a sense of urgency or a real want or need to address that situation head on quickly. And there's others where they kind of damn with faint praise and they kind of kick around, you know, a platitude here or a platitude there that anybody who watched the games knows doesn't quite fit. And they are very hesitant to use any language that would tie them to that player or that situation with any, with any urgency. And so, you know, I think you can kind of look at guys and put them in a couple of camps coming out of this press conference, the key guys. And we'll hear all these clips through the course of the show and break all this down in detail. But like, you know, in my head, there's kind of a ledger going on. And the left side, guys leaving. Possibly Mark Andrews, you know, definitely Marcus Williams.
Yes.
Close to definitely Brandon Stevens.
I'd say definitely.
Yeah. Way more likely than not, Ronnie Stanley. And then there's a ledger on the other side where, like, Justin Tucker still seems to be in really good stead with them. I don't even know if they bring in the kind of competition I would want them to bring in. I mentioned Pat Ricard. He's good. Dean Pease is definitely back. Now, yeah. Do they need somebody else to do the day-in, day-out stuff that Dean Pease was doing for them last year? Somebody experienced. We'll get into that. I think the composition of the coaching staff, for me, is a door that has been left, you know, propped at least somewhat ajar. Marlon Humphrey might be getting another bag. You know, like, that seemed pretty evident. Isaiah Likely, maybe he's somebody who benefits moving forward. You could kind of tell who they were sending strong signals about being a part of the short and long-term future and who they're kind of doing a verbal dance with.
Yeah, I mean, covered a lot of ground there, but a couple other takeaways outside of that. I thought John Harbaugh was very forthright about the punt returner situation,
yes,
saying that they need to find someone. Like, what went on last year for the majority of the year was not professional grade at all there. I thought it was interesting, John Harbaugh reflecting on that goal-to-go situation, mm-hmm, at the two-yard line, where he said maybe we should have passed on first down, ran on second down, and then you have more options on third down.
How about
as well,
he gave away that it was a trick play, yeah, on second down, which,
well,
I never heard. Ronnie Stanley.
No,
which,
you could see it on
I
the all 22.
I can see
22
it now, but like, yeah, but on, that play was going to him.
Oh, I know. On the all 22, you can see Stanley go out into the flats because he was an eligible receiver on that play. I would also say, you know, John Harbaugh talking about his contract situation.
Yes.
It was very interesting as well. He's entering his final year. Cordell was out there asking that question. Now, there were a lot of nuggets to come from today.
It was very interesting, and as you said, Jason, the way they couch certain things. Like, it's very clear, and we'll hear from them later, that they want Patrick Ricard back.
Yeah.
It's also very clear that Brandon Stevens is probably not here.
He's gone.
Yeah, like, just the way you word things, it was interesting.
I mean, Kyle Hamilton, I think they really tried to leave. You know what I think they were doing there? If they can't get a safety, if they strike out there, or if they bring a guy in and then decide he's just not better than what Hamilton was there, I think they were in cover their ass mode there.
Yes.
Is free safety a big need? Absolutely. Do they know it? Absolutely. Are they a better team with a real free safety who can do the job in a way that Marcus rarely did, and getting Kyle back in his old role and being able to move Marlon between the slot and different matchups as you like? Yeah, but they don't want to fully commit to that now because they don't want to box themselves in. And it could turn out that they make a middling signing, or they use a mid-round draft pick on a safety instead of a top one, and that guy's just not good enough, in which case they don't want to commit to, yeah, we're definitely a better team without Kyle Hamilton there, because guess what? Kyle Hamilton could end up back there.
For sure, and Eric DaCosta acknowledged that as much, where you didn't see the type of splash plays that we saw from Hamilton in 2023 in this year, but it was a situation where their hands were tied. They needed to put him back there to kind of put out some fires in that secondary, and we saw that down the stretch.
And so now we don't hear from them again, or at least Eric again, till what, the combine?
Yeah.
Yep.
If he talks, he doesn't have to.
Yeah, but Eric usually talks. And then it's the draft. And he'll be
pre-draft and then during the draft.
And he'll put out those cool videos probably about.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe
he likes
not
to do that. He enjoys.
I feel like he didn't do them last year.
He didn't?
Not from the Senior Bowl.
I think Cole Strange.
He's an odd guy.
I don't think we're ever getting back there.
Oh, man. Those were good times. Hey, we have a huge Hump Day Wednesday show. Guest wise, it's a Wednesday. We'll get our best bets with our buddy Tim Murray from VEASAN. He joins us at 3:30. Jim Bowden, former GM. He's on MLB Network Radio. He's with The Athletic. What about the Orioles offseason and MLB offseason as a whole? We'll talk to him at 4. IA Hall of Famer, Channel 13 Emeritus, the conscience of this show, Mark Viviano at 4:30. And Mike DeVito. We'll talk some Chiefs with the former Chief at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, obviously a lot to unpack here with the Ravens, as we still kind of get through the uncomfortable time that we're in between the season that ended before we thought it should have and an off season that, let's face it, is almost in full swing. I mean, the combine is not that far away. And by the time we get to the combine, trust me, you'll be hearing Mark Andrews trade. We'll be hearing all kinds of scuttlebutt about all kinds of things. Yeah, we haven't talked much O's this week. We will certainly do that at length with Jim Bowden. And, yeah, Mike DeVito, pin the Chiefs, three-peat. I'm not betting against it.
Yeah. But coming up next, we just talked about what we heard at the press conference. Now we'll hear from Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh. What did they have to say about coaching staff, about certain players, about Brandon Stevens, about coaches? We'll hear from them next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I think you had a great chance to play in this next game. It was doubtful was a good designation for this game. They wanted to work him out before the game and just in case, but I wasn't counting on it, honestly. And I'm not going to rule him out until he's out. This next game would have had a real chance. So he should be fine going forward. I don't think it's going to be a surgery in the end, but they haven't determined that for sure yet. If they do it, they'll probably just do it to kind of be sure. But Yeah, that's where it was at.
I found that interesting at the end, and maybe I'm just reading into stuff, but the possibility that, and he's talking about Zay Flowers and whether he would have been available if they got the AFC Championship game. But then he also kind of threw in there at the end that he still might have surgery.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's that to me was a spicy meatball there. And that was it near at the end of the presser.
Yeah. Whatever he has, and then DaCosta kind of spoke in generalities about guys who may or may not need surgeries and the timetable for that. You obviously want him around for as much as you can do, as much as you can have him in the offseason, because you think of how much they added to this whole offensive panorama from year one to year two of Monk. Year two to year three, I mean, we're really, you know, you really have a chance to fine-tune some other things and add some wrinkles in. And Zay Flowers individually started to show up in some different quadrants of the field year two versus year one, and I think there's opportunities to build on that even more. And I do think there's ways to unlock him downfield even more.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is predicated on who else is running routes around him and how much attention they're drawing, and can we clear things out for Zay a little bit more to where it's even less yak predicated than it has been.
For sure. And he took a huge step in year two. To be a pro bowler in year two, that's massive. You saw the yak numbers go up, and you'd expect him to take a similar jump next year in year three. But all things considered, guys, and even if he has this surgery, and obviously surgery is not ideal, but it still beats the alternative of what we thought that night, where you're thinking, oh my gosh, did he just blow out his knee? And then you're worrying about next year's availability, where if John Harbaugh is saying that he had a very realistic shot to play in this game, maybe it's just a cleanup. Maybe.
And it's LCL, from what I understand. It's not the major ligaments.
Yes.
But still, I found that interesting. Let's hear more from John Harbaugh. Spoke today, along with Eric DaCosta, presser at 11 o'clock at the Castle. And Harbs talks about Dean Pees.
Yeah, I have. And a little more nuanced thing. Just appreciative of Dean and the job he did. I know Zach feels the same way, defensive coaches. It helped us. You know, it was a good thing to have Dean come back and experience. It reconnected us to, you know, our roots in terms of the structure of the defense, because Dean was a big part of that for, you know, from 2012 and 2011, 2010 even, as a linebacker coach, and on through as a coordinator through 17. And it was kind of good to get reconnected to a lot of that, and I think he was a good eye and ear for the players and coaches, and he's interested in continuing in some sort of a role. I do think, you know, he's at that stage of his life where it's probably not going to be that full-time thing like he did the second half of the season. Mel, his wife, is amazing. She was here. You know, she'd come by and be in the cafeteria and be around, and it was great to have her around. But, you know, they're at that time of their life where they got some different priorities with the grandkids and stuff. But he is going to be still connected. He'll still have a role as a consultant for us. That's my plan. That's his plan. And that's great.
Dean Pees, defensive consultant, but not full-time role like he was.
That's great. And you know, can you reach a point where you have too many cooks in the kitchen? You can. I don't think this is it. And I hope that they're going to be reaching out to people like Chuck Pagano and others. Like even Leslie Frazier, I don't know what his status is with McDonald, if that was a one-year thing or not. Leslie Frazier's doing some head coaching interviews. Yeah. Someone in your building every day who is a part of this staff, senior associate head coach to the defensive coordinator, come up whatever cockamamie title you want. I do think that person needs to be identified sooner rather than later, and here through the offseason. Like that you can't take a step backwards there. And I don't want to give too much of my six pack away that's coming up, but two out of the last 3 years, this defense has been out of sorts and janky the first 8 to 9 games. Like, that needs to stop. You know, and it did the second year with McDonald. Mm-hmm. You paid a pretty penny to get a linebacker who hasn't looked like a $20 million linebacker since McDonald left the building.
Correct.
So, like, you can't be waiting on the trade deadline to save you, because EDC wants to keep those picks. So, that's got to get sorted. Like, that part of this is not good enough. It's great that you simplified things and got Kyle Hamilton to help settle everybody down, but you had one playmaker on your defense, Marlon Humphrey.
And the key to what you're saying, it has to happen prior to off-season workouts, OTAs, mini camp. You need this full
definitely
off-season.
Prior to Halloween.
Yeah. That's the thing where you wonder if they would have gotten off to as slow a start if they brought someone in earlier, especially considering that was Zach Orr's first year as a defensive play caller anywhere.
Yeah.
And John Harbaugh gushed about Dean Pease, and Dean Pease means a ton to him, and it's great that he's going to still remain on the staff in some capacity. But bringing in someone that's been there, done that, because John Harbaugh emphasized how Dean Pease was a big sounding board for Zach Orr.
Another really cool story this year to come out of tragedy, obviously. Joe D passed away. George Warhop came in and had a tough job to do, but here's Harbs on George Warhop.
Agree. You know, George is known as one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, and everybody respects him. And for him to be available, I've told you this before, I've known him since we were 25 years old when he was working for Mike Godfrey at the University of Kansas, and we spent a week together talking football, you know. And Mike came to want to spend a week with us this week during the season and spent time here. So, you know, those are the connections that you make. And he was a great coach then, and he's a great coach now. How many guys could have come in that circumstance? I mean, Joe D is loved, respected, did an amazing job here. We have a Joe D Award. We have a room named after him. We love him, and for a coach to be good enough to adapt to the things that the offense the way it was built, the calls the way they were made, the way the techniques were taught, and still put his imprint on it, because you got to coach it the way you believe in it being coached, and do it in a seamless way where the guys, it makes sense to the guys. You know, you got to be really good to do that, and that's George Warhop, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for it. To your point.
It is. He came in incredibly difficult circumstances. I can remember we were at Pickles, and they announced this hire after Joe D passed away, and you're like, this guy's coming in on the fly. Joe D was beloved in that building.
Yep.
He'd been there forever. This could be, and obviously there are things more important than football, but for the football team, this could be catastrophic, and George Warhop was able to get this thing in line.
He did a tremendous job, and he did it under duress, and it was really rough. I mean, there was everything about this looked like it could snowball in a negative direction. And it took a couple weeks, obviously, to sort some things out and to get McCary where you needed him to be and to say, hey, Voorhees, we'll see you in 2025. Like, there were some tough decisions that had to be made there. And it was went beyond just coaching. But and look, I'm not going to also tell you it's a top five offensive line in the league.
No.
Like, it's still
Lamar
a position
helps.
Group. Yeah. It's a position group that they're going to have to sort some things through moving forward. And they're going to be continuing to draft them. We know that much. But he did a tremendous job. This thing really could have gone in a bad direction.
Let's hear one from Eric DaCosta before we step out. And the first one, Beltway Ben, we found this to be very telling. Eric DaCosta on Brandon Stevens.
B. Steve is a great pro. Awesome attitude. He's a great teammate. He'd probably say he didn't have as good a year this year. But his attitude never wavered. He's out there, very, very dependable, good practice player, tough, physical guy. He's a free agent. So there's a lot
come
of pressure
and get him.
On him, I think, in his mind. You know, he was a great pick, and I'm proud of him. This is a guy that's really only been playing DB for about 4 or 5 years, and he's grown a lot, and he's been a good player for us over the years. And we'll have to see what happens with him. You know, he's probably going to have a chance to test the market and see what his value is. But he's helped us win a lot of games over the last couple of years. He's been a big part of our success, and I'm proud of him for that.
He was very good last year. He was very bad this year. And it probably was weighing on his head the fact that he was in a contract year. And
turned down some opportunities.
So he turned down a decent bag. And so now that decent bag is probably not going to be out there for him this offseason.
Maybe somewhere else, not here. Certainly not here. That to me was Eric DaCosta saying, wonder what kind of comp pick we're going to get
yes.
for him come 2026.
Yeah.
Well, when you use in your quote, he was a great pick, we're going to let him test the market, the jargon that it.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Coming up next, it's six pack time. And yesterday, even though I didn't understand the assignment, we were talking about these six the decisions that await the offense. Well, now it's the defense's turn. What are these six biggest issues, decisions coming up for this defense? We'll give you our list next here on the Fan. It's the defense's turn. Yesterday, we did the offense. This is the six pack of issues, decisions on the defensive side of the football. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
Like yesterday, I put this at six because I think it's going to happen, but he's a restricted free agent, but you got to bring our Darius Washington back. That's a guy that they have to bring. He helped them out so much, and he's actually become a very nice player for them, but I put it at six.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that he's coming back. It's just a matter of do you work out a real contract
yeah.
or not. My six is something we were just talking about off air. Re-incentivize Kyle Van Noy. The whole world knows he balled out for you. You got him in a two-year deal that was incredibly team-friendly, and he more than earned his way. So share the wealth back with him. Make him feel fully invested in this thing. Put some attainable incentives there. Maybe even play around with that base. But as of right now, he's your best pass rusher, and it ain't even close. So do right by him.
Number five.
Now, my five is, I think they need to get real about what OA is and what he isn't. And I know they're taking a victory lap about picking up his fifth-year option. But he also played about half as many snaps as Robinson with the season on the line. Like, they've got to be realistic in how they build their team. And at times they fall prey to our draft picks. He's going to work out. He's going to work out. He's going to be who we thought he's going to be. Just one more year. Just one more year. I think if whatever they do with Van Noy, they're not adding guaranteed year money in future years. So I think they need to have real frank discussions about Owe's limitations and what is realistic for him, because I think he's better as a rotational guy, 9.5 sacks or not, than somebody who's playing as much as he has been playing.
So you're saying redefine his role?
I think.
And he did get 10 sacks, Jason.
I think you need to find somebody better than Owe.
No.
Upgraded edge.
Yeah.
My five.
Someone with more natural pass rush than Owe.
I think my five is sort of like a mix of your first two. It's just it. I know they finished second in sacks, but they do have to figure out their pass rush. And some of this is Van Noy and the re-incentivizing him. And some of it's trying to figure out, can they get anything close to. I'm not saying he's got to be the guy he was 2 years ago or last year, but figure out how Justin Madubuike can become a game wrecker again, because that'll help their pass rush immensely on the inside. Oh, and can Travis Jones take the step that we thought he was going to take earlier this year, and he did not.
Number four.
Four is, and they made it pretty clear, but it's bring Marlon back. And Marlon Humphrey was absolutely huge for them this year. He was a first-team All-Pro. We were having discussions before the season that he was going to hit EDC's barbershop after this season, like Ronnie did. I think he's getting another bag now. They got to get that done.
We are simpatico. I've got extend Marlon Humphrey, preferably at a slot price. I don't know that it's going to be super easy, because he's had some pretty good years sandwiched around some injury-prone years, and the role you played him in the second half of this year might not be exactly where he ends up next year, but you can get some value by lowering the cap number, and I'm not afraid of committing some future guarantees to this guy, because I do think he's going to be able to help you in the slot for a while.
Yeah, I'm with Jason. You guys got a similar three, but there's a couple guys. And I know that we're focusing on defense in this one, but Kyle Van Noy and Rashad Bateman, we've brought up that name of kind of sweetening the pot with both of them. I mean, Van Noy is only projected to earn $4.5 million this year.
Yes.
For a guy that had, what, 12 sacks, 11.5 sacks?
Yeah, 4.5. Not guaranteed either.
No.
Hey, we are doing the six-pack of issues, decisions that this offseason for the Ravens defense. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
Three for me is from a personnel standpoint, mission number one should be to get a playmaking free safety. That is the biggest need. Chuck Smith can help you develop pass rushers. I'm sitting here telling you, I don't think Owe's ever going to be a guy who you have to scheme up ways to stop him, but he's still got 10 sacks. Van Noy had the fountain of youth. The year before that, Clowney had the fountain of youth. They have not been able to find a free safety since Ed Reed. They tried with 10, 20 different draft picks, and then guys leave here like Terrence Brooks, and they're good in other places. Or Deshaun Elliott leaves here, and he's better other places than he was here. And I'm not saying he became more of a box guy. I think at one point they probably thought he could toggle between free safety. I know what they said publicly today, and they, DaCosta said what he had to say, because they might not be in a situation where they got somebody better than Kyle Hamilton, so he still might have to go back there some. But in a perfect world, That's not the case. He saved you last year. You got to see that. Doesn't mean he can't play more of that in certain looks, but it should be your call. It should not be by default. It should be because of your schematic reasons to want him in certain situations. Go get a legitimate playmaking free safety.
Yeah, we are simpatico at three, and it helps you do two things. Number one, it improves your back end, but it also lets you play Kyle Hamilton in that Joker role where he was so valuable 2 years ago. And I felt like Eric, as you said, Jason, didn't want to box himself in completely,
no.
but he acknowledge that they love him in that Joker kind of role. I think that's a huge thing for this offseason.
Number two.
Two is they got to find a corner to upgrade from Brandon Stevens. Brandon Stevens was and I feel bad for the kid because I think the money got in his head, but it is what it is at this point. He ain't going to be back, and he was getting picked on repeatedly down the stretch. They need to find a corner.
Yeah, I think they're okay. For the most part, at corner, we know they're always drafted ones. But if you get Kyle Hamilton back into that hybrid role, I think you've got a lot of flexibility back there overall. My number two is who's the next Dean Pease? That's great that Dean Pease is staying where he is, or staying within the organization, but now more of a consultant, watching video in the building occasionally. You need someone who's run a successful NFL defense before, and preferably multiple places, to be in that building to help Zach Orr every single day. Someone like Dean Pease, who's at a point in his career where there's no ambitions about anything beyond this. He's there to prop up Zach Orr when he needs it.
Number one.
Number one is collectively they need to find a way to take this from a 200-level defense to a 500-level defense in terms of getting more aggressive, being more willing to gamble to get a little bit more out of a Madubuike or maybe out of a Kyle Hamilton. This thing is too passive, and I think that's part of the reason they don't get turnovers at critical times, or they don't get turnovers against better teams, right? Because it's one thing to get turnovers against the Bailey Zappies of the world. It's another to turn over Josh Allen in his own backyard in a day when Joe Brady wants to play keep away and be real cutesy with the football. And part of that is identifying playmakers, but this has gone on too long now, and I think they need to be willing to find certain personnel where they're blitzing more than five more often than they have. There's got to be a collective discussion about finding a middle ground between what they were under Wink Martindale and kind of what they were the last 5 or 6 weeks this year, where they're just trying to keep their head above water and salvage their season.
My one was your two, and if it's not Dean Pease, who is going to be that veteran voice for Zach Orr to help him? And maybe it needs to be somebody like a Chuck Pagano, because Dean Pease, remember, he was kind of famous for those bend but don't break defenses. Maybe he needs an aggressive mindset voice, not as aggressive as Wink Martindale, but somebody with a little more aggression to help push this a little bit.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
Yeah, your two, Jason, kind of almost plays into the one, depending on who that guy is. Like, Ken, you just referenced Chuck Pagano, who I think makes a ton of sense because he was here. John Harbaugh, the staff knows him. But yeah, it's how you take this defense from good to great.
There's got to be more bite, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like this was just about hanging on by your teeth. Next year, they need to snap some bones off.
Bone.
Bite some kneecaps.
Not all the time. Wink wanted to bite the kneecap all the time. Can we bite the kneecap on third and seven a little more?
Periodic kneecaps.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. Hey, coming up next, we want to hear from the people. We've given you some of our main takeaways from today. What did you think about what you heard, Ravens fans, from Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh? 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next here on The Fan. Ravens end of the season presser was at 11 o'clock today. It is now in the books. I'm sure you've heard it, Ravens flock. Your thoughts on what you heard, 410-583-1057, to give you any insight into who could be here and who might not be here come next season. 410-583-1057. Out to the phone lines we go. Sam is in Rosedale. Sam, you're on The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
As far as what I heard, I heard the same thing I've heard for the last five seasons, seven seasons, whatever. You know, Bone could do a AI synthesizer, and he could take the names, put them in there, say, or pose his questions, put the names in, and then bang, see what comes out. It's going to be the same thing from year in to year out. Now, I do have a serious question.
Yeah.
As far as Brandon Stevens, now, we all know he sucks. Well, I'm sorry. It's a fact. I like the guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey. But anyway.
We keeps it real.
Some somewhere in the coaching infrastructure, don't we have somebody that can tell him what we're saying about him and straighten him out? I mean, there's got to be somebody that can make him play that position better.
I meant to bring this up when I was talking about in the last segment, the six-pack, about scheme and getting more aggressive. I think part of that is, do you have the right coaches there to do it? And I'm talking about assistant coaches. I'm talking about position coaches. Because there were not enough ascending players on this defense. Too many players fell short of expectations to just write it off as year one with Zach or this or that.
I have a theory, and tell me if I'm crazy. Some people can handle the pressure of a contract year and know that there was a big money offer on the table, but maybe it wasn't as big as your agent wanted it to be, and you ride into that contract year with all that pressure, and you handle it. And some people aren't built for it.
I hear you there. And now explain Matabike. Explain Roquan.
No, I hear you. I'm talking about Steven specifically.
I know, but I'm saying explain Travis Jones being pretty much like maybe there was a blip, but kind of flatlining.
No, you're
like
absolutely right.
We can go through the roster.
And those are all young players.
Was Broderick Washington better 2 years ago or last year? When did he flash more? Like, always sack numbers are up, but to me, he's the same kind of player. Ajabo was nothing. I don't know.
I thought Owe got better.
It wasn't elite, but it was better. I'm not saying he's...
And for the record, just for accuracy, Brody was better 2 years ago. Last year, he struggled. He was actually a little better this year than he was last year. Last year, he was bad.
I don't think he's what they thought they were hoping to get when they doubled down on him.
No. He has not been as good as since they gave him that extension, though. It wasn't exactly.
What happened at linebacker? You ended up going to guys you thought were only going to be on special teams to bail you out because Trent Simpson. That's a lot. You're going to run it back with all these guys?
Yeah, clearly they were all in on Trent Simpson.
I will say the impression I got listening to them, there are some guys that won't be back. But there's going to be a lot of running it back.
I'm talking about the coaching staff.
Oh, no, I'm with you on that.
There in TMI.
Yeah,
We're going to bring all these. Two out of the last 3 years, this team's not ready to play defensive football the way they need to until week 8, week 9, week 10. And because you kind of salvaged it but with a bunch of bubble gum and scotch tape.
Yeah.
You might not have the right mix there.
Bobby D's got some answers, doesn't he?
If it was up to Bobby D, they'd trade for Denard Wilson.
Yeah. Bring Denard back. Bring Denard home.
And Bobby D's made his thoughts clear about Mark Andrews as well.
Yes, he has.
Hey, 410-583-1057. Before we get back to the phone calls, I do want to get your thoughts, Jason, because we've had some coaching news since the last time we spoke. Aaron Glenn is the new coach of the Jets. And that Lions, Tyrell Williams was their D-line coach, who's now the defensive coordinator in New England. So that coaching staff, of course, Ben Johnson goes to Chicago. That coaching staff in Detroit is getting absolutely gutted.
Dan Campbell's got a lot of work to do. It's incredibly difficult. And the problem for him right now is until the dust settles on these head coaching jobs, like a lot of guys aren't going to commit to, even the guys who could move laterally or whatever. You're kind of in limbo until some of these other head coaches are named. And there's guys who are like, well, yeah, I'd like to work for you. But if my guy gets a job in this place, I'm going to have the same job, but I'll get more money. And what do you think of Jared Goff? Ben Johnson got Jared Goff to a certain level. But I mean, do you think you're winning a Super Bowl with Jared Goff? I don't know. Some guys say probably yeah. Other guys say Jared Goff's a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want my quarterback to play like that. I don't want my quarterback to look like that. My quarterback's got to be more athletic.
That was going to be my question to you, is this window still wide open for them? And it's really unfortunate. Obviously, they suffered a ton of serious injuries, and a lot of those guys are going to be rehabbing, and we'll see what their availability is for the early part of the season. But is this window still open for Detroit?
It's a good it's a really good roster. Losing Aaron Glenn or not, if they get back some of their best defensive players, you know, you get back your nose tackle, you get back
Hutchinson,
you keep drafting the way they have been. Like, no, I don't think their window's closing, but I think we're going to be hopefully doing this 10 years from now, and Lamar's going to be hitting the back nine of his career, and you're going to look at the totality of the NFL during Lamar's era and say that 1 year Stafford won a Super Bowl was kind of crazy, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because Brady, I think, was the end of that like the natural end of that sort of traditional old school Dan Marino, Dan Fouts, seven step, five step, drop everything in the pocket, passer. I think that was the end of it. And Stafford, the trade happens and they hit lightning in a bottle and that happened once. But I think as you look at who's winning 9 out of every 10 Super Bowls, 14 of every 15 Super Bowls, the legs matter.
Well, I think that is the mold for quarterbacks now. It's not like out of the mold anymore.
No, that's what you standard. If you don't have that, you now have it. You now have to prove it even more.
Behind.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other job, and it hasn't been filled yet, but I think we all saw this coming. It looked like Jacksonville was going to hire Liam Cohen. He stays in Tampa. He's going to be the highest paid coordinator in football. And is it Robert Saleh now? And this is all Trent Baalke, right? Like nobody wants to.
And the owner. I mean, look, the owner is everybody. Like he's a great guy. He has no clue how to win. He has no clue how to empower the right people. And keeping Trent Baalke is more evidence of that. I mean, dude, he hired Urban Meyer.
Yes.
I mean, come on. This guy has no clue what he's doing. He has no idea, whatever it's been, 12 years into this, what the hell to do to get himself to consistently being able to compete even in that horse bleep division. So I think, yeah, I mean, he should sell out to go get Todd Monken. That's what I would do. I'd be on a plane up here.
Let me ask you this. And Monk's at a different age, and that was talked about at the presser today, that he's not like – he's actually very good. And John Harbaugh said, I don't want to lose him, but I'll tell everybody he's very good. But he's not the, quote, young, hot coordinator.
No.
But you do wonder if he's thinking it's the last bite of the apple, so I'll hold my nose and go work for Trent Baalke. Because it sounds like people don't want to work for Trent Baalke.
No, they don't. I mean, now you might already be okay with some of their offensive personnel and think that Baalke could do a decent job drafting linemen. Let me handle the skill guys. I mean, depending on what you think of Trevor Lawrence and where he is and how much he's damaged goods and how much between his ears is kind of screwed at this point. But I mean, Robert Saleh, my God.
Can you imagine?
Please.
That sounds like he's the leader in the clubhouse.
If Robert Saleh and Brian Schottenheimer get jobs and Todd Monken doesn't get a second interview, that tells you all you need to know about these buffoons who run these teams.
Well, and that specific buffoon in Dallas who he's going to hire a guy in Brian Schottenheimer who nobody's interested in having that coach, but that's the kind of guy Jerry wants.
Complete pushover.
Yeah. It's something.
He's a puppet.
Coming up next, back to the Ravens, and what is the future at left tackle? Is it Ronnie Stanley? Is it someone else? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.